I was just saw it like 2 weeks ago in my dad's office, a letter that I wrote to George Bush, who was the president at the time. And I had said, hey, look, I think that I pose a real advantage because I'm so young that people won't suspect that, you know, I would be in the espionage field. And so that was sort of my main claim to, like, you should consider me. There was other things, like I was good at karate, and, you know, I think I had already come up with a code name at that point. So I was a little, you know, ahead of the curve in that regard.
Welcome to Behind the Stays, a podcast that shares the stories behind your favorite Airbnbs, boutique hotels, and hospitality brands, and the hosts, operators, and entrepreneurs who have brought them to life. Every Tuesday and Friday, you'll meet the military veterans, the retired flight attendants, tech entrepreneurs, the school teachers, the single moms, and the real estate investors who are all, in their own unique ways, shaping the future of travel and hospitality. Discover how these visionaries from all over the world have built chic cabins in the mountains, designed bohemian bungalows on the beach, erected eclectic off-grid and nature-immersed escapes, and so much more. Behind the Stays is brought to you by Spontaneous, the internet's best destination for last-minute Airbnb deals. You can subscribe for free at spontaneous.com. And I'm your host, Zach Buzicruz, co-founder and CEO of Spontaneous. All right, friends, enjoy the show. In just a moment, you'll meet Landon Wilkinson, co-founder of HostShare, a new platform that enables short-term rental hosts to trade unbooked nights in exchange for free travel. Growing up, Landon wanted to be a spy. He went so far as to write a letter to the CIA asking them to recruit him. He even had a code name, which you'll hear about in just a few moments. And while Landon never wound up pursuing a career in espionage, the boldness he had as a child has followed him along his journey of becoming an entrepreneur. In this episode, Landon shares where the idea of HostShare first came from and why he believes a travel platform for Airbnb hosts is needed, the specific rules and guardrails he and the team have had to create to ensure the platform would be exciting for hosts that own both mansions in Miami and also hosts that own condos in Detroit, how they plan on monetizing the platform, and so much more. All right, friends, without further ado, get ready to meet Landon. All righty, Landon, we are live. Good sir, how are you doing today?
Hey, living the dream. How about yourself?
I you know, I feel like I'm living in a dream a little bit. I'm pretty tired. I've got a young son, and he had a rough night last night, and I got home from like a late trip, and so I feel a little bit like I'm stuck in dreamland, but I'm excited for this conversation, man. So I think that this is either going to augment the dream or, you know, pull me out of the dream, but in a good way.
Yeah. I think once you become a parent, it's sort of like, you sort of have to just accept that things are different than they were. And probably for about the next 15 years or so, it's going to be touch and go with sleep.
Dude,
that's
honestly
been my experience so far too. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Well.
That's amazing. Congratulations. Yeah. My second kiddo is scheduled to arrive sometime in the next month. So we are eagerly waiting that arrival.
Congratulations.
Thank you. But you know, one of the funny things that I feel like since becoming a dad, and some of the listeners are probably annoyed because I think I've mentioned this before, but it's just amazing how your body just adjusts to like the lack of sleep, right? Like, yep. I mean, it is amazing that parents function, period, right? And yet you just do. And like a lot of people become parents and a lot of people figure it out. So my whole like productivity, like hacks that I used to like read on Twitter from people, like now, unless you're like a parent, I don't want to read your productivity like guide, right?
Doesn't matter. It doesn't apply.
That said, if you are a parent, like I do want to follow you and I do want to understand like how you're making it work. But anyways, I digress. I am excited to talk to you today to hear a little bit more about HostShare, which is a brand new like product. I know that you guys have talked a little bit about it on social. You guys are currently in beta. I actually had your brother on very briefly a couple weeks ago to talk a little bit about HostShare, but really he was talking to us about his experience at the STR WealthCon. So I thought it would be fun to have you on to hear a little bit more about what you guys are building and why you're building it. But one of my favorite things to do at the top of the show, Landon, is to ask folks, if I were to meet you as a 10-year-old and I were to ask you what you wanted to be when you grew up, like what would you have said?
So 10 years old, I was pretty hardcore on wanting to be in the espionage field. I was a big fan of the idea of being a spy.
Wow.
And so I actually have, I was just saw it like 2 weeks ago in my dad's office, a letter that I wrote to George Bush, who was the president at the time. And I had said, hey, look, I think that I pose a real advantage because I'm so young that people won't suspect that, you know, I would be in the espionage field. And so that was sort of my main claim to, like, you should consider me. There was other things, like I was good at karate, and, you know, I think I had already come up with a code name at that point. So I was a little, you know, ahead of the curve in that regard. But I also sent letters to the CIA and the FBI as well, probably within that, around a couple of years around that time, and got responses surprisingly back from real people saying, you know, we understand you're interested in becoming an agent. Here's the pathway you take to, you know, if and when you come of age. And I was very frustrated at the time, but in hindsight, it's probably good that I didn't go down that road.
Dude, I think that might be my favorite answer to this question so far. That's amazing. That is fantastic. Okay, wait, what was your code name? You got to tell us.
Oh gosh, I was, it's so embarrassing.
Tell us.
Okay, it's Agent 1Z33, and I believe that the Z came from, believe it or not, I don't know if you're a fan of the movie Holes, the old
yes,
Disney
of course,
movie.
Yeah. Oh, Z from huge, Holes.
Yeah, Z from Holes, and so that was, I believe that's what, I don't know where the 33 came from. It probably just rhymed, and so that was a little bit of the, you know, I mean, as a secret agent, you couldn't give away, and I'm afraid I didn't keep much record as to where the 33 came from, but nonetheless.
Oh, dude, that is amazing. And honestly, can you imagine like being on the recipient end of that letter, like at the FBI or the CIA? Like, honestly, I'm sure it got passed around. I don't think, you know, there wasn't Slack at the time, but like people, you know, shared it around, like, and you know, I bet everyone was like, we got to respond. We got to respond.
Gotta do something.
I wonder, honestly, it must happen. Like kids must do this. So I wonder if there's like a little like department of like, you know, the person that handles all these responses.
I got to think somebody opened that and was typing up a response and thinking, I don't get paid enough for, or, you know, I did not join this.
Oh gosh. Seriously, man. Wow. Dude, that's amazing. Okay. So you do not become a spy, although maybe you are a spy and you just can't tell
just
us.
Working in HostShare.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll never know. You know, founder, entrepreneur, you know, but really you're a spy. But I do want to hear the story of HostShare. And can you just explain a little bit about like what HostShare actually is? And then talk to us a little bit about like the idea, like where did it come from?
Yeah, the idea for HostShare was really, it was kind of a few things that led to it. And for those of you listening who don't know what it is, basically, it's a way for hosts of short-term rentals to trade last-minute unbooked nights in exchange for free travel. So you're just paying the cleaning fee. I guess one of the big things that led to the idea was I had had one of my good friends and I bought homes together in Missoula. We live in Washington. They were right next to each other. And so we both Airbnb'd them out and then also would go and stay there and, you know, use them for various things. And so he had family coming to town and he was staying at his in Missoula. And they basically were like, hey, can we use your place and just pay the cleaning fee? And it was, you know, wasn't booked on that short notice or whatever. And I said, oh, yeah, I don't care. Sure.
Yeah.
It's not going to get booked anyways. And so then that was sort of a little part of it. And then there was the other side of it was basically I became a pilot in probably 2021, my brother and I, or maybe late 2020.
Wow.
And we bought an airplane, my brother and I, and then another partner, business partner. basically owning an airplane and flying is like the least affordable hobby. And so if you can find a way to spread some of those costs around, it really makes a lot more fun and justifiable with spouses and things. And so we'd owned this airplane for probably 3 years together, something like that. By this point, this was April of last year. And my brother and I were looking at buying a sailboat and we're like, hey, let's do the same thing. And we started talking about, man, it'd be nice if there was a way to share these assets a little easier. And so then we got talking about different ways to do that. And ultimately, led to talking about our short-term rentals and we found out that basically out of, you know, 6 million Airbnb listings, the average occupancy range is about 50%. So Every year you've got 3 million homes, you know, that are vacant essentially. And So it's like, that's like a $300 billion issue. You know, if you calculate the average nightly rate of Airbnb is around $317, it's about $330 billion. So we're like, that seems like something we should talk about. And so then through that process, it's like, well, what are the barriers? And obviously people don't want to lose revenue. You got to be really strategic about how you do that. And so we basically said, well, 5 days in advance is just far enough to where it can be useful for somebody traveling. And also just short notice enough to where you don't wind up with this issue of losing too much revenue.
Yeah.
And so that was really the first thing. And then it's like, obviously a lot of other rules for the game that we had to come up with along the way. Like everybody who joins gets the same number of nights, which is 3 weeks or 21 nights a year, but they share a different number of nights depending on what their average nightly rate is. And so it's kind of a really nice way. I had tried to use Home Exchange and various things like Third Home or other ways. And basically what it comes down to with those is you're always sort of trying to, it's like you're moving into a country where there's a currency scarcity. It's like starting Monopoly without any money, because you basically have to allow people to come stay in exchange for credits or, you know, whatever currency, like Home Exchange uses, guest points, I think is what they're called.
Okay.
But you have to basically share in order to then go travel. And so to actually, you know, you do get some credit for starting up your profile, but you wind up with this problem of like, you go try to use it and you have to earn credits somehow before you can use it. And I thought, well, you already have this asset that's available, you know, so if you can figure out a way to give everybody a hand to start with, which is the 3 weeks a year, and it's per listing. So if you have one membership, you can add as many listings as you want. And so, you know, theoretically, if you had 17 listings, you could travel, you know, nonstop. So anyways, that's sort of the gist of it. I hope I didn't go on too long on that.
No, that was great. So, and you know, I think one of the things that you didn't say, but I assume is sort of like a requirement is you have to be a host, right? Like you can't use host share unless you are a host. And so there's that verification component too of like, you know, with respect to trust, right? I'm more likely to trust another host to come and stay in my place. And because they're a host, they've got a public profile. I assume you guys primarily use Airbnb as sort of like the verification point there, or like, do you guys verify in other ways?
They have to have an Airbnb listing at this point.
Yeah.
There may come a point where we will have manual listings being added, where if they have like their own, you know, outside
direct booking site or whatever.
Direct booking, or VRBO or other things. But Airbnb is nice common denominator. It's a lot easier to work with one OTA for all of the calendar sync.
I was at an industry networking event recently with some incredible hospitality entrepreneurs, and there was one topic of conversation that everyone was chatting about. Can you guess what it was? Keep in mind, this was an event with some of the most incredible folks building unique stays, micro resorts, and other unforgettable Airbnbs. So these folks knew what they were doing. These weren't like industry newbies. Any guesses? Can you guess what the hottest topic of conversation was? Well, if you guessed cleaning, you'd be right. You see, it doesn't matter if your average nightly rate is $100 or $1,000, if it's your guest room or the world's most unique treehouse, if the stay isn't clean, your guests aren't going to be happy. And finding the right cleaning team, especially these days, is really tough. But my new friends at Turno help make it easier. Turno is the smartest way to schedule, pay, and find vacation rental cleaners. Think of Turno as an Uber or TaskRabbit for STR hosts. Simply create an account, describe your listing's cleaning needs, and Turno will match you with cleaners near you. And get this, each cleaner's profile is complete with ratings and reviews from other STR hosts, so you know what you're getting into and who you're going to be working with ahead of time, rather than crossing your fingers and praying that your new cleaner meets your expectations. And you can store all of the cleaning preferences that you have in your account that is associated with each of your listings. This ensures a quality cleaning every time. Turno's auto-scheduling feature syncs to your rental calendar and automatically generates cleaning projects associated with guest check-in and check-out dates to be shared with cleaners. After the cleaning, Turno can auto-process payments for you. How cool is that? So no more like Venmoing people over, you know, your iPhone. And it gets even better, friends. Turno offers a simple, affordable pricing for STR hosts of any size. Single property accounts and marketplace users get access to all the platform's tools and features for free.
And they make working with your existing teams easy too, with plans as low as just $6 per property per month. There's so much to Turno, so I want you to take just 5 minutes to explore their offering further at turno.com/behindthestays. And the team there is offering Behind the Stays listeners a $150 Amazon gift card after you complete your first turnover before March 31st of 2024. So don't sleep on this, folks. Go to turno.com/behindthestays to learn more.
Talk to us about like the 21 days. So how do you ensure that, right? Like what, how did you guys come up with that number? You know, obviously 3 weeks sounds like a long time and, you know, it sounds like it's worth it, I guess, like from my perspective, but like, how do you ensure that there actually is that much demand, or I should say that much availability, with respect to that demand? Like, how did you guys solve for that piece of things? And well, I know that you're really new, so you might still be trying to figure that out.
I mean, we really had to establish early on the rules of the game and think through these things a lot because, yeah, you're absolutely right. It's like we build in a lot of margin. So basically, you're only sharing the nights if they're available within that 5 day window. So if you're, you know, if you're exceptional and you're booked out 90% of the time or 95 or 100% of the time, you still have the same rights to travel on HostShare as a host that's, you know, has a lot more vacancy and therefore maybe sharing a lot more nights. So it's an interesting thing. It's kind of like, gym memberships. You know, most people, gyms don't operate on the assumption that everybody's going to be using the gym as much
all
as
the
they
time.
Should.
Yeah. You know?
we have that margin. We're not like a gym in the sense that there's a scarcity of machinery or something like that. We have, you know, it's really just going to be based on, you know, you show up in a city and if there's a place available to stay, then you're golden, you know, and basically, that's what we're trying to get to with the US initially is where you can almost substitute all your travel using HostShare. Initially, I think you're going to have to, you know, be a little bit more strategic and say on this weekend at this time, I want to go somewhere and it's going to be within a 3 hour radius or whatever. And then pretty much you'll be able to find a spot. But that's the difference.
Yeah, no, I mean, it makes a lot of sense. So a couple questions for you on the, let's say I have a 2-bedroom condo in downtown DC, right? And then there's another listing that's a stunning, you know, Miami Beach house or something like that. Like how do those dynamics work, right? How do you guys ensure that, you know, there's some semblance of obviously like a diverse portfolio of stays, but that, you know, me, if I'm the Miami Beach house owner, right? And I don't only want to stay in like DC condos if my place, if my place is 10 times better than the place in DC, like how do you guys account for that?
Yeah, that's really the beauty in this, in the formula is what happens is if you have that Miami home, say you're $1,000 a night.
Yeah.
And say the condo is like $100 a night, right? That's what you're talking about, that value difference. Well, how it works is because everybody's getting that same number of nights to travel, you have that common denominator. So the Miami home, in this case would share, you know, a fraction of the nights that the person with the condo is sharing. So, we have a HostShare calculator on our website and you can plug in what your nightly rate is and you'll see how many nights a year, the maximum number of nights you'd be required to share, if they were available within 5 days.
Got it. Okay. So the amount of availability varies for the stay varies depending on the nightly rate of the place.
Yep. You got it.
Interesting. Okay. So, and how did you come to that as like the logic or the criteria to help with this sort of like, you know,
making it fair, basically.
Challenge.
Yeah. Making it fair was like the only, I mean, I'm trying to think of what caused us to kind of land on that as a solution. It was, I had sort of my brother Sean actually was the one who I think, who really crystallized that notion. I had a similar notion that was more complex, but I think it mathematically wound up at a similar thing, which is basically everybody has to contribute the same amount of value if it's available. And so it's an interesting formula that, you know, like you said, we're just started. We literally last week announced all of the US-based listings, that, hey, we're able to start traveling. So it's brand new, but it's been, I think our beta where people could sign in and create accounts went live in November. And, you know, it's just been, it kind of crashed the site a few times that first week while there was a lot of demand. And then of course now it's starting to ramp back up again, which is really, really fun, but it's been a development year basically.
Yeah. Which is amazing. So talk to us a little bit about like how the process actually works. So if I'm a host, right, I'm an Airbnb host, I create an account, I have to use my Airbnb listing, my host profile to validate yep. my criteria, right, to make sure I'm qualified to be a part of HostShare. I get approved, right, I get in there, and then like, am I booking the stay with another host through HostShare?
Yep.
What if I run into issues? Who is the beautiful thing about, obviously, you know, Airbnb or any other sort of like OTA is that there's a lot of, you know, support kind of like yeah. behind you. There's this kind of like trusted marketplace. Again, you guys are leveraging the trust that everyone that's a part right. of this platform is a host, but there are still sort of like, you know, communications that need to happen, and there's still going to be issues that like need to be resolved. So how have you guys figured out that? Have you addressed those dynamics within the context of the platform?
It's going to operate a lot like your any OTA experience in terms of like you go to book a place, you can select the dates that are up to 5 days in advance. And then you're going to basically check out and use your nights, which basically act as like a credit system. Yeah. So you'll be basically paying in your nights when you confirm the reservation, then you'll pay the cleaning fee through our platform. So it's still free right now. We're not charging anything for the service. Probably wait till we get to a critical mass of users to where it's really valuable to do that. But, we will charge a membership probably in the next month or two of something. Yeah. I don't know exactly when and how that's going to play out, but yeah, so that experience of like host support, one thing that's kind of cool that I'm hoping we implement is going to be, the option to have any disputes moderated by other hosts on the platform, which I think would be
Ooh.
A really nice way to kind of circumvent the issues of like some customer rep in another country is going to be, you know, trying to make a decision on what happened here or whatever when hosts can kind of get involved and maybe get a credit for some of their membership or some other incentive to help moderate on the platform. I think that's going to be an interesting advantage that we have that will allow us to keep our costs down and keep the service economical too.
Dude, that's a brilliant idea. Like imagine like it's like the case, right? And you just like thumbs up or thumbs down depending on like who you vote
basically,
on who you
yeah.
think is in there. Like that's brilliant, right? It's yeah. that's amazing. I love that idea. And quite frankly, I think hosts, right, would love that idea too, because
like crowdsourcing or what's the word I'm looking for? It's like open sourcing
yeah.
dispute.
Yeah, resolution. Open sourcing.
Yeah,
exactly, yes. exactly. Oh, I love it. I love it. I'm sure other Airbnb's hosts would love if Airbnb did something like that. And again, yeah, the benefit exactly. here is like every guest is also a host, so yep. so you have that assurance. And that's what makes it, you know, that's why something like that could actually work in this context, right?
Right.
So I want to hear just a little bit more broadly speaking, like when, as you guys have, you know, gotten into this space and you've talked to prospective users and ultimately prospective customers, well, what's been surprising or interesting to you? Like, have you guys had any additional ideas on the product front? Have there been things, have you pursued different paths based off of some of the feedback that you got from early users? Can you just share a little bit about like how the community of people that you did talk to when building this, how they've responded to it? And since you've launched, you know, your beta, what is the feedback been so far?
Yeah, I probably, in my experience, I've started and tried a lot of businesses over the years, sold some of them successfully, some of them, you know, crashed and burned more or less. And I think one of the biggest things that I've realized with starting HostShare was like, if you start with the right question and a pretty logical solution, it's really powerful and how it kind of can galvanize a team and people into excitement around the idea. I think like it seems like kind of like obvious, you know, when you say it out loud, but like, you know, I've opened a yoga studio and a juice bar with my wife and some business partners. I've done, you know, a lot of brick and mortar type real estate investing and but it's always been sort of a commodity type investment. And this is a lot more thinking in terms of like problem solution and something that, like, as a host, I've had, you know, short-term rentals for like 10 years. And, you know, oftentimes I have some on my own property that I, you know, like a shipping container home and a renovated barn. And I can look out the window and see when there's not a car there. And I'm like, oh, I wouldn't really care if somebody else came and stayed here, you know, if there was a way for me to do the same on that kind of last minute occupancy or vacancy basis. And so my point with saying all that is, like, well, like, if you start with the right concept, it's not really like that difficult to get people excited about it, I guess. Yeah. And that's been really interesting because I expected a lot more people to have a difficult time with some of the, you know, I figured it'd be maybe 10% of hosts or something like that, that you talk to, that'd be like, yeah, I'd love to do that. And it's been more like 80 or 90% that are totally okay with that kind of formula and situation. So being at expos and talking to a lot of management companies and hosts, and it's like really fascinating that you don't get more pushback. And so at the end of the day, I guess my point is, it's like, I expected we'd have to pivot a lot more than what we've had to in terms of just like initial response over the last year. And so far there's been very little deviation from that initial formula, which is kind of cool.
Last minute cancellations suck, and that's why we built Ping. Ping makes it easy for guests to be notified when their favorite Airbnbs become available. Ping is a simple widget that lives on your website or your direct booking site and allows your fans and followers to sign up and be notified if their preferred dates become available. Here's how it works. Jimmy sees that you're booked the whole month of October, but he wants to be notified if any 3-night window in the month becomes available. Jen is a returning guest, and she wants to be notified if any week in June, July, or August becomes available. In a matter of seconds, Jimmy and Jen fill out the simple form, and they will be pinged if the requested dates become available. And as a host, you will immediately get pinged via email with Jimmy and Jen's contact information and requested dates, which enables you to build up your own database of guest email addresses. Ping is what the best Airbnb hosts use to maximize bookings. You can get access to our beta pricing with plans that start at just $39 a year at bnbping.com. Again, that's bnbping.com.
You know, I wonder too if this is like a way you could kind of spin this into sort of like market research when people are launching new stays too, right? Like, and if if you're a short-term rental host and you are going to launch two new unique stays, you ship the listings first to HostShare. People in the community can be some of the first people that book the stay, check it out, like let you, you know, give you your, their honest feedback. And again, there's a level of like assurance that the feedback is at least worth considering given the context of who the guest is. Right. So I see this evolving and like people, when they launch their first stays, their first guests are, you know, these host share members.
And, I mean, it's just,
exactly. And who can all work together to better this day. Ultimately, I think what's also really cool about this is if you build this community, right. And I'm sure you guys have thought about this. Like one of the biggest challenges with like the whole like book direct movement from my perspective is like, there isn't a lot of like community consolidation, right? And the reason why there hasn't been any sort of like rewards programs that have like, you know, come into this space, and you know, there are people that are trying to do this, but I think the reason there isn't like a you know, name brand one yet is because it's very, very hard when you have all this different inventory.
Yep, totally.
And you have all these different, you know, people with different goals for why they even have a short-term rental, right?
Yep.
But I could see HostShare actually being a place where like alliances are like formed. Like I could see like, hey, like the Airbnb, like the A-frame people like in HostShare all get together and they come up with some sort of, you know, bylaws and an agreement. And then they could go and start their own A-frames in New York sort of collective. Right. And make it, you know, do some SEO work. And at the end of the day, right, everyone benefits, right? Because their direct bookings will go up if that's an objective that people have.
Yep.
So anyways, it's a really cool space to build host community outside of Airbnb, outside of Facebook groups, but in like a very
walled garden,
in a much more tangible way. Yeah.
I mean, and that's really the other side of this that I'm excited about is like there's not really a coordinated host advocacy program. And I think as more and more states become and countries become really restrictive on property rights for this kind of stuff, it's like nobody is really in the corner of the hosts. And I think we could probably do a lot if we get to the scale to help some of the advocacy rights. Cause it's a lot harder for like an Airbnb to advocate, in the host corner. In my opinion, it's a little bit more of a conflict of interest for them. For us, it's like, we're all business owners trying to survive. We're not Airbnb. We don't have $65 billion a year in or whatever. I think it's maybe a little less than that.
But their market cap is around 65, I think, right now. Yeah.
Yeah, but I think their annual revenue in terms of booking volume is,
booking volume.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to get it wrong. But anyways, it's like, basically we'd like to be that place of community where people are really excited to be a member there, because it's not the same as a VRMA. It's not the same. Like, we're a unique breed, and there's not a coordinated effort to help kind of represent those from what I've seen so far. So that's something I'm really looking forward to doing, and taking a good portion of our membership fees eventually, or a percentage of it to try to help coordinate some coordinated advocacy efforts for that stuff.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's a really interesting idea. I think it's similar to sort of some of these like home swap. I mean, like, I'm sure you've heard of Kindred and stuff.
Yep.
And I had their founder Justine on the podcast maybe like a year ago.
Oh, nice.
And their model is a little bit different, right? In that, like, it's gotta be your primary residence. Like, it's your primary home that you're sharing. It's not like you can't share a short-term rental. At least that was the case then.
I don't know if it is now, but
yeah. Oh yeah. Maybe they've evolved.
Yeah.
but yeah. So, I mean, like that model of like just paying like a cleaning fee or whatever is super interesting. But again, in that context, right, at least at the time, it was like homeowners, right? Right. Now you guys are a little bit different in that you're hosts. So it's like these dynamics as they evolve, these like marketplaces that are built around trust that are actually built upon other marketplaces. Like, yep. It's just an interesting dynamic.
It's evolving.
So I want to hear, you're an entrepreneur and a business person yourself. Like, you're process of building HostShare. You've done some other things before. When you look at like the hospitality like and travel landscape right now, like, where do you see opportunity? Like, if you weren't building HostShare, like, what else might you be doing in this space?
Man, that's a good question. When you work on something like HostShare, you get a lot of echo chamber. You're just focused on that one, problem to solve. And so I do think there's probably, like with Kindred's model, there's something there with primary homes and allowing people who don't have, I think like more of a general public exchange system that is optimized would be useful. And I think one thing that's nice is like as economies, like if you have, economies shifting and there's, less cash and liquidity and things like that available, then it's nice to have a way to share things that aren't taxed. And they're just people like sharing goods and services. And I love that we live in a time where that's really doable. And so I think the model of kind of sharing assets is something that we are really blessed to live in a time where that's possible and scalable in a way that has just never been the case before. Like, I think that the model that we're using is probably going to be really useful in things like boats and airplanes, and in different ways. It's going to take some modification, but I think travel, things that relate to travel, like even, I don't know how the airlines do anything like this. I haven't really put a lot of thought into that, but there's a lot of empty seats on airplanes, and there's a lot of waste in every industry that can be optimized with effort. And so I think that's really doing more with less is always going to be a winning formula if you can do it, really effectively.
Well, and I think ultimately, like, you've got to figure out, right, in your context, obviously at some point HostShare has to figure out how to make money. So you'll do like a membership fee or whatever.
Right.
And then obviously it's going to make economic sense to the users of your platform. But then also, like, I think we've been so addicted to like being able to monetize everything. Right. Yep. And so this idea of you have an empty boat, you have an empty house. Oh, put it on Airbnb, I don't know if there's like an Airbnb for boats. There probably is something similar to that. Okay. There you go. Yeah. Like you put it on whatever that platform is. Right. You think about your swimming pools. Put your swimming pools on Swimply. Like, right. There's notion
that already for swimming.
Yeah, exactly. Pools. Like that's cool. Yeah. Yeah. There's literally like a way to rent anything, right? And get paid for it, like mount, yeah, like the everything that they're doing, right? Like you can rent a bike, you can rent that. Yeah. And so it's interesting, right? When you get niche and you get specific around a very core committed community, and then you offer the ability to use the assets, but for quote unquote free.
Exactly. Yep.
It can work. It can work when you've got a niche community. It's probably harder, right? And even within that, right? Like everyone's got to play by the same rules. And so it's a hard thing to do, but if you can do it, and if you can convince people to do that instead of, you know, listing somewhere else, that's huge.
Yeah.
Like that's big.
Well, the other thing is that my brother made a comment the other day that I thought was really interesting is like, and one of the things with HostShare is just the travel habits have to be sort of different. And what I'm expecting and what I have sort of seen already is like, you're going to go on trips using HostShare that you wouldn't have made. It's not like it's replacing necessarily an Airbnb, at least initially for a while, but you're going to be able to go on a lot more trips or do a lot more things than you would have had you not had HostShare. And so like we were talking about, you know, imagine the difference in the lives of people if they get 21 more nights of travel a year than they would have otherwise. I mean, just in terms of family, you know, building and just relationships and all those things that get us excited that like the impact, these homes are sitting there empty. You're heating them, you're cooling them, you're, you know, paying, you know, everything to support that asset. And so I love that notion too, that like, even when it comes to like other assets, like you were talking about, you know, like bikes or cars or other things, like the more that you can kind of have that do unto others approach, or, you know, like you show up at a place and there's a car there, and there's eventually it'd be cool to have a lot more than just, you know, there's a lot you need when you travel, and hopefully that this model can be useful somewhere in that as well.
Yeah. And again, I think that this stuff works only because there is a baseline. I should say this stuff might work if you know, only when there's that baseline of like shared trust and almost like shared vulnerability to an extent, right? Like I am making my space open to you and you are making your space open to me. And we both have public profiles that other people have said things about us that we can look at and view and use that as an indicator of whether or not we trust you, right? So it's super cool to see businesses like HostShare be able to work because of Airbnb. Like, I mean, it's remarkable. Dude, this is exciting. Are you guys like taking on like new hosts? Like, can you talk to us a little bit about like for listeners, right? Like what is the criteria? Like how do you listeners and hosts kind of join HostShare?
Yep.
Can they do so publicly at this point? Like talk to us a little bit about how people can get involved if they want to.
Yeah. So basically what'll happen when you sign up, for HostShare right now, if you go to our website, HostShare.co, you'll be able to basically create a listing. And what's one thing that we really want to do is keep this a very frictionless experience. And so all you do is put your Airbnb URL in and it auto populates your whole listing.
Nice.
So it takes like, I don't know, to go from newbie to, or, you know, new to the whole platform to traveling. My hope in the whole process is it would take less than 24 hours to basically have 3 weeks to hit the road. So I think right now you can do that. Anybody in the US or with a US bank account, I should say, can go and use it as long as their listing's approved, which that is literally today streamlined to now where it doesn't take quite as long to go back and forth to get all, because we basically have to verify your ownership of the property. You know, your identity has to be verified. The listing quality has to be verified, which if it's still on Airbnb, most likely meets our criteria. And so those are kind of, it's ready to roll. And right now it's free still. Like I said, because the main value of the platform is just how many places you can go to travel. And we just really want to see people get out and use it and have places to go. And eventually, you know, there will be a membership, but until then, take advantage.
So get in early, folks, get in early and get those nights of travel for free. Landon, this has been awesome, man. I really appreciate you taking time to come on the pod and share a little bit about HostShare. And for folks who do want to learn more about HostShare, I'll have links to their website in the show notes below, and also links to their social handles. So Landon, thank you for the great work that you guys are doing. And I'm just excited to see how you guys continue to grow. We'll probably have to do like a check-in pod in like 6 months from now to see how you guys
hang
out. Yeah, exactly. But in all sincerity, man, I am super excited about what you guys are building and just really appreciate your time for today.
Hey, thank you so much for having me, sir.
Thanks for joining us for this episode of Behind the Stays. I'd love to know what you thought of the episode. Feel free to shoot me an email directly at Zach, that's Z-A-C-H, at spontaneous.com, or find me on X, formerly Twitter, at ZBoozy, that's Z-B-O-O-Z-E-E, or on LinkedIn at Zach Boozy Cruise. If this is your first time tuning in, it's a pleasure to have you, and we hope to have you back again soon. If you've been a listener for a while, though, I'd greatly appreciate if you could subscribe and then leave us a rating and review of the show wherever you are currently streaming this podcast. Last but certainly not least, Spontaneous and Behind the Stays are totally bootstrapped, and my ability to bring you these stories is only possible because of our incredible advertising partners. We're very much a startup show, and while our growth rate is amazing, thanks to all you who keep tuning in and sharing our show with your friends and family, we haven't quote-unquote made it yet. So if you could do me a huge favor and go and check out the sponsor for today's episode in the show notes below, I would greatly appreciate it. Even if their offering doesn't make sense for you right now, sending them a quick message on social or an email, just saying that you're listening to the show and you appreciate their support would be incredibly amazing. All right, friends, thank you so much. Enjoy the rest of your day, and we will see you on the next episode of Behind the Stays.